Welcome to the Abundant Life Podcast. This is Pastor Derry. Today's message is titled New Year, New Me, Part 6. Are you a new creation? This rhetorical question is a calling for believers to enter into the revelation of being a new creation in Christ Jesus. Listen in, take notes, and I'll talk with you at the end of the broadcast.
Father, we praise you, give you glory for your goodness and your mercy that endures forever. We thank you that today is the day that you have made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, that you have bestowed every human being with the capacity to know something. And we thank you that with that knowledge, you are also giving us of your Holy Spirit to bring us supernatural revelation that we might know not only as human beings know, but as God knows. We thank you for opening our minds, that the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light so that revelation of God would hit us today. And as it does, Lord, give us faith to stand on your word and to apply it to our lives. And Lord, we thank you for that stamina to stand mightily and ready to face every challenge, every battle, armed with the word of God and the revelation of God. And we thank you that as we do, you're going to show up mightily, show off, show everywhere, all the world, who you are and why you are so great and why we praise you every day. And we thank you that when we see that, Lord, we will be quick and have full compassion to share with others that which you have taught us and you have shown ourselves strong in our behalf. So we give you praise for these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, I am a blessed person. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, one change that I'll give before we get into the word, and that is this. We made a shift. You know, we stream every Sunday. We stream our services. We changed our streaming provider. So if you are at home and you've been going to live stream to get it, the service, you won't find it there. Amen? You go to our website, alwc.us, click on watch and listen, and then you'll find a link to go directly to our new streaming provider. I was actually watching the stream today, and it looks beautiful. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it didn't cost us as much money. Amen. Praise God. Good steward and good resource. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, say, I am full of God. And ready to show the world that I am a new creation. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. This is our foundation scripture. We've been talking about a new year, a new you. And even though it's February, you're still new. Amen. 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 Some people on January the 1st make resolutions, and whether that resolution is I'm going to eat different or I'm going to go to the gym or I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, you get goals and all kinds of things you set for yourselves. But what happens to some people is that by January 31st, those things have gone by the wayside because I had a new idea, but I didn't have a new behavior. And unless we change the behaviors, we really can't enter the new ideals. But here's the challenge with changing behavior. You cannot, it is impossible for any human being to change their behavior without their will being set. Amen? It's impossible. You cannot change your behavior until your will gets in line. Amen? So when your will gets in line, then what happens is your will dictate what you are willing to do. That's why they call it the will. Amen. And it gives you also the ability, because once you set your will, it unlocks potential that you have that you don't realize that you have. Amen. When I was a young fella, I was trying out for my high school basketball team. It was ninth grade, and I had been playing in school all the way up, but you know, we had little lightweight practices, and basically we just learned how to shoot and that kind of stuff. We never really physically trained. All right. So when I went to high school, the high school I went to was a very basketball-minded high school. So the coach had everybody doing conditioning, which I had never had to do. And so I went to conditioning, and when I went to conditioning that first day, I thought I was going to die. Where my high school was, it sits on this hillside, and we had to run down the hill. No problem. We ran down the hill to the zoo, and then we ran into the zoo and ran around up the hill, and then we had to come back down to the zoo, and then we had to go down the road, and then we had to come back up, and the last part of the run was coming back up the hill to get back to the school. And man, you had different kinds of guys. You had the guys who had already knew what was coming, and they were prepared, and they ran, and they got back, no problem. Then you had the middle pack that's breathing hard, and they're trying to make it, but they're all too proud to let either one of everybody else beat them, right? So you're driven by pride. Then you got the people who had no idea what was coming. And they just like, man, I don't even know if I'm going to survive. But either way, what happens is you go through this process. And at the end of the process, if you did not quit, you found out that you could do it. Amen. Amen. See, along the road, you doubt all the way. I can't do this. And you might even be making a confession. I can't do this. Oh, man, I don't know why I'm here. I can't do this. I don't really want to play basketball. That's bad. And you get all the things. You get all the voices of what people say on the road. And some people make a decision on the road. This is too hard. I'm not doing it. And they quit. Amen. They didn't realize that sometimes the coach designs it so some quit. Amen. We can't have 95 kids show up for come up to practice. We can't do that. So we have to have a filter. And the filter starts breaking down who's willing and who's not willing. Amen. But there's nothing along the road that says that you have to stop. The only way you know to stop is something inside speaks to you. And that's how we also find out what we call our heart is. Because where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be also, according to the word. Amen? So what happens along the road is different people in the course of life find where their heart is. You find that place where your heart is, where you're willing to do no matter what in order to get to that place. That's where you find out where your heart is, where your desire is, where your passion is, because your passion will drive you past obstacles, challenges, and everything else. Passion is a form of love. And when you love something and you have a passion for it, it will press you beyond expectation and beyond even what other people think is possible. Because there's something inside you that drives you. Amen. Amen? Amen. So in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, we find Paul is explaining to the church at Corinth that something has happened to them. And they may not understand what it is that's happened to them, but he needs them to know there's been a change. And whatever you were yesterday, today there's something new about you. So the first thing he says is, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what?
New.
Tell your neighbor, say, you look new. If any man, here's what's powerful about this. No matter who you are, no matter where you start from, no matter what your circumstances, no matter where you were raised, no matter what you look like, no matter what, if any person be in Christ, it is the powerful equalizer. All right. In our country right now, we are trying to divide people by everything imaginable. Yeah. We're dividing the rich from the poor. We were dividing the black from the white. Here's what's funny about black and white in America. 85% of the world is neither black or white. Isn't that ridiculous? The fact of the matter is that black and white is really not a factor. We separate by those things because we have obstacles placed in our lives because of the sin nature of humanity that has created all kinds of obstacles and barriers to keep us from each other. Amen. It started in the garden and it's been working ever since. Now, understand that when he says, if any man is in Christ, and now take back in a man, I'm separating again. It says, if anyone be in Christ. See, I got my own bias I gotta deal with. Amen. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. This is one of the most liberating things in the whole Bible, that if you're in Christ, old things, nothing, no matter what it is, what happened yesterday doesn't matter anymore. Amen? Amen. Amen. You messed up something yesterday, it doesn't matter today if you're in Christ. If you fell yesterday, it doesn't matter if you're in Christ. Cussed out your neighbor yesterday. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in Christ. I got to let it go. Whatever you did yesterday, there's a way God has created that allows you to be clean today. That in the moment today, you can stand without any kind of fear of God, fear of wrath, or feeling of inferiority. Tell your neighbor, say, I love you, and I'm not inferior to you. Amen. It's a law of love. This is really powerful. All things have become new about us. We're talking about having a new year and becoming a new creation. My question for you today is, are you a new creation? Are you a new creation? Now, I know what your answer is. Your answer is yes. But I want you to think about this. Do you understand the revelation of that? Do you grasp the revelation of what it means to be a new creation? Is that I'm new, I know that. But there are some things that I have not fully grasped as far as my understanding about what God says that means and then what it means for me moving forward in my life. I may not fully have the revelation of understanding what it means to really be a new creation and what has God intended for that to be and then how do I get there? So the key is, number one, you got to know. You have to know that you're a new creation. You got to accept it in your mind before you can then even receive the revelation. You got to accept in your mind the fact that, you know what, God does make people new creations. I've seen God do miracles in people's lives. I've seen God change people's world. I've seen all that, and I believe in that, but now I need to receive it to me. Amen. The night I gave my life to Jesus, some things happened that I can't explain today. I can tell you what happened, but I can't explain it. And my mind wants to be able to explain it. And I want to be able to, because I'd like to teach. So I want to show you step by step. Here it goes. But God says, you don't have no steps, because it wasn't steps. It was an open door. And because it was an open door, God opened the door, and the only step you had is step into what God says. And the night I gave my life to the Lord, I sat in a chair when I had been an atheist. I didn't even believe there was a God. I sat in a chair. Somebody said some words to me. They all of a sudden made sense, and Jesus was real to me. There is no way to explain. There's no way to, there was no arguments. I had all the arguments previously. There was no way to, there's no way to define it or tell you how it happened. It just, they spoke a word, and that word came to life in my face. And when it did, I had to respond. And I said yes. And when I said yes, all of a sudden the Lord filled me with his Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues when I grew up a Baptist. How many Baptists in the house say, yes, Lord? I never heard about nobody speaking in tongues. And then all of a sudden, I was speaking in tongues. What? All of a sudden, I went home and I was like, nobody told me what to do. They wrote 5 scriptures on a post-it note that I still have in my house. And they said, you need to go home and read these. And I went home and all of a sudden, something awoke. Something awoke in me. It was like running for basketball practice. It's like before I couldn't do this. And then all of a sudden something in me say, yes, you can. Yes, this is for you. This is for you. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. And all of a sudden that new creation had to say, you know what? I got to let go of old stuff. All of a sudden the new creation in me started saying, the stuff got to leave your house right now. And so I got a big black garbage bag and I started throwing stuff in it. And I cleaned that weekend, I cleaned my whole stuff out, all my stuff, threw it out. I said, I can't have this. I don't know what I'm supposed to do without it. But I know I can't have it. So I had to take it all, put it out, get rid of it. And after I got rid of it, then the Lord filled every space with his word. All of a sudden, his word became life to me. His words like a light in darkness has set me free. His word started speaking to me, and I started reading passages that I had seen before and argue with people about why they weren't real. All of a sudden, they were talking back to me, and God's voice was coming forward. Supernaturally. Why? Only one reason. Because I became a new creation. The old things passed away. Everything became new. The Bible that I argued about wasn't real. All of a sudden was new. All the arguments I had that I tried to argue with Christians about why God didn't exist, everything became new. And all of a sudden, my answers came back to me why God was real. Because this is the gospel that we have been stewarded. The gospel that's able to transform hearts and minds, to make people brand new, to change and transform people. Now, last week we talked about the fact that in the book of Joshua chapter 1, we're not going to go there, but I'm going to give you a little reminder. Joshua was told by God, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that's written therein, because then you will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. Only be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God was with you wherever you go. So he told Joshua, I'm going to tell you how to change your life, Joshua. You've been a follower, now I'm about to make you a leader. And I'm going to show you how we're going to do it. And the way I'm going to do it is I'm going to make this book of the law that you becomes your meditation, that you have it in your mouth and you have it in your heart through meditation. I'm going to put this in you. And when it's in you, it's going to make you successful. Yes, amen. Not successful on others' terms, but successful with God. And because he was successful with God, not only did he conquer the nations that he was going into promise, he was able to speak to the sun one day. And make the sun stand still. Why? Because the book of the law did not depart from his mouth, but he meditated on it day and night. It became his constant meditation. And because it did, all of a sudden, God supernaturally started working in Joshua's life. Joshua was able to go to the city of Jericho and stand outside with a city with fortified walls all around it. All the way around this city is a giant wall that no other adversary had been able to penetrate. Joshua gets to that wall and asks God what to do. He said, don't do anything but walk around it 7 times. Every day for the next 7 days, walk around this city. That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't have to. It's God's word. I go to the doctor and the doctor says, take this pill. It's going to make you better. I don't understand how it's going to make it better. But the doctor said. How many of y'all do that when you go to the doctor? The doctor tells you what to do. You say, okay, thanks, doctor. Okay, I'll take it. Is it going to make me better? Yes, take it. Amen. Side effects may include. But because the doctor said, we will do. So when God spoke to Joshua, he said, tell the people to walk around the wall. And they walked around the walls. He said, now, tell them to walk around and shout. And what happened? They shouted, and all of a sudden, the walls came down. Supernaturally, miraculously. How does that happen? I can't explain it. I just know as a new creation is true. I have a new creation acceptance of the word. I have a new creation acceptance of what God says, that's final. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Now I'm going to tell you some things today that you already know. Tell your neighbor, say, I already know. What are you going to say? I'm going to tell you some things you already know, but I need you to get the revelation. I know you know. I'm going to quote something that you know. You will quote it with me. But I want you to get the revelation because the revelation is what brings change. Amen? It's not knowledge that changes. Revelation changes. Matthew 22. We're going to go to verse 37. Let's read it together. If you don't have it, look up on the screen. Jesus said to him, you shall love the who?
Lord.
Your God with? With all your
soul.
And with
all your mind.
This is the
first
and
great
commandment. Amen. How many of y'all know this passage? I want you to look closely at this passage because I want you to catch some revelation. Jesus said to him, who's Jesus talking to? Jesus is talking to one of the Pharisees who's come to trip him up. The Pharisees have gotten together, found a lawyer to come talk to Jesus, and this lawyer is there to confuse Jesus or to get Jesus to say something incorrectly because the Pharisees had already watched the Sadducees get their bell rung by Jesus. You shall what? Who? The Lord your God. I want you to recognize that there are two references to God in this passage. The first is you shall love the Lord in capital letters. Now, interesting here, when you look in Scripture, usually when you see the Lord in capital letters is a reference to the Lord as Yahweh. Okay? That is not the word that's used here. This word Lord is not in the Greek. It is not Yahweh. And I made a lot of assumptions that it was. And I had to do some research. And when I did, I got my mind shaken as to what this passage says. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord, not Yahweh, your God. So the words here is, you shall love the Kyrios, your Theos. You shall love the Kyrios, your Theos. Kyrios is supreme authority. You shall love the supreme authority, your God, with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Now, why does that make a difference? Because there's some people who want to love God without him being their supreme ruler. See, some people want God on their terms. I want God, but I want God my way. The only problem is, whenever there's something supreme to you, you usually don't get your way. When something is supreme to you, you usually don't get your way. So when it says you shall love the Lord, you're curious. You shall love Kyrios, the supreme ruler. You should love the supreme authority. You should love him, your God, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. What did Jesus say in Matthew 28? Jesus, before he gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given to me. So it's not just loving God, it's loving the authority who is Jesus. You shall love the supreme authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. There is nothing over me. I got all authority in both heaven and in earth because I've resurrected from the dead. I came back from the dead, so I have all authority. All authority belongs to me. Look, there it is, Matthew 28 and 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. I have been given all authority. So when Jesus himself said, you shall love the Kyrios, because he didn't use Yahweh. See, Jesus already knew he was going to get all authority. So when he told them, he said, I'm telling you right now, if you want to say you love God, you're going to have to love the Lord your God. You're going to have to love the authority over. Now, when I gave my life to Jesus, what I recognized intuitively, I didn't know it with my mind. I got the revelation on it. I had to toss everything out of my house because I was saying yes to the supreme authority. And because I was saying yes to the supreme authority, I said, man, I can't keep this stuff in here. I got to get this stuff out of here, man. Now, I did it out of fear of God. But it came to reverence of God. Amen. When you start to get the revelation that God is the supreme, Jesus is the supreme authority over all things. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And because I love God, I'm willing to submit to his authority. Man. Now, if we had a family and we stood them here, and this family had a parent, another parent, and two children, okay? The two children say, we love our parents, but we ain't listening to nothing they say. We love our parents dearly, but they don't know what they're talking about, so we about to do what we want to do. The parents will say, you know, we love you. And because we love you, we're about to put you on punishment because you don't understand what you're saying right now. You can put us on punishment, but we're going to walk out anyway. And the parents' response, you can walk out. Here's a bag. And when you leave, put the key on the counter. Why? Because a parent would not tolerate the disobedience. A parent would say, I love you, but you don't understand what you're talking about. You're saying stuff that doesn't indicate that you are loving back that which has loved you. But every time we violate the word, not by accident, but we make a decision to violate the word, we're saying to God, I love you, but I don't respect your authority. And when we don't respect the authority, we're saying to Jesus, I know you might have all authority, but I'm not ready to yield. So the question is, am I a new creation? I am a new creation, but I got to keep growing. I got to keep growing so I start getting in position where I'm ready to yield myself to God. Listen, I love God. I'm your pastor. I love God. I've been walking with God for 30 years, 31 to be exact. October 18th, 1986, I gave my life to Jesus that night. I've been walking with God ever since. But guess what? I'm still discovering strongholds inside of me that got to get dealt with. Amen? I still discover strongholds, things that are inside me that are still saying, I'm not bound to Jesus. And when I find it, I got to deal with it. Because if I don't deal with it, it's going to try to drive the whole car. It's going to try to take my whole life off track. Life that I'm in serving God with. And that's what Satan looks for in our worlds. He looks for strongholds that he can pick on, and he can get you to take a small stronghold and let it drive your life out of God's will for you. Amen. Man, look at this. Look at this. Let's go. Let's look at verse 39. Yes. So the first thing is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. Tony, go back one more time. All right, let's break this apart. I want to break this down for you. Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. So we said that the Greek behind this is you shall love Kyrios, your Theos, the supreme ruler, your God. And we said, looked at Matthew 28, and we know that Kyrios is Jesus. He is that supreme authority. Jesus is the supreme ruler. He is the one who's over all. All authority has been given to him. That supreme authority is Jesus, your God. Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is God, come in the flesh. With all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. Okay, I want you to hear something here. So to love the Lord with your heart, it is the Greek word cardia. You heard cardiac arrest, right? Cardia, the heart. And what it's talking about, it is talking about your physical heart, but it's also talking about your emotions. My emotions. I gotta love God with my emotions. I have to love God with my emotions, with my feelings. I gotta love God with that. But it also means your mind. Because your feelings rest in your mind. Man is created a triune being. You created spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the part of God that God created. It's the life in you. It's on the inside. It's what God made. Your soul is everything that has to do with your conscious reasoning faculties. your emotions, your feelings, your senses, your mind, your imagination. Those five things all make up your soul. When the imagination is not brought into subjection, your imagination is designed to build a story to protect you. So in other words, I don't have to, in the moment, hear something and not know what to do. So you hear a sound. Your imagination goes to work instantly and defines what the sound is based on what it's heard before. And it gives you instructions on what to do based on what you think you're hearing. So we hear pop, pop, pop out there, and you've heard gunshots before. Your mind, your imagination says, gunshot, somebody out there shooting, get on the floor. Amen. In an instant of time, it breaks the whole thing down, sifts everything, choop, time to take action. Will, get busy. I got a will to live, right? The will to live is in there. Pop, 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 up. Instantly, you know what to do. Why? Because your imagination already paints a story. You only have to, the wall is there. I can't see what's out there, but my mind has already drawn a picture of what's going on out there. Amen. That's how you're designed that way. That is your soul. But the mind, when he says your cardios, love the Lord with your mind, it's the thoughts that occur that are connected to how you feel. They're connected to your feelings. So the next line, when he says your pushe or your soul, it's the force of life on the inside of you. So even though we want to put the words together, they don't mean the same thing. So when he says cardia, he's actually talking about the soul as we think of soul. But when he says actually the word soul, pushe, we interpret it in English as soul. But what he's actually talking about there, it is the life that is in you. That you, number one, love the Lord with your thoughts and how you think. Number two, you love God with the force that's in you, that you're willing to put what's in you toward loving God. Amen. The third word is the word diano. Diano, your mind. And once again, we think we know what mind means, but this word mind is referencing your deepest thoughts. So we got conscious thoughts, and then we got deepest thoughts. Your deepest thoughts are the thoughts you don't share with nobody else. The things you think about that nobody else, you know nobody else will understand it when you say it. Or if you say it, it will be construed wrong. So you don't say it at all. It's your deep thoughts down on the inside of you that you don't share with anybody else. That deep thought, he said, you got to worship God with that. You got to love God with those deep thoughts. That gets down to your motivations. You gotta love God with your motivations. Love God with my thoughts. Love God with my life force. Love God with my emotions, my deepest motivations. That is loving God. Now you say, man, I can't do all that. That's a lot to do. How am I supposed to do all that? You start with just saying yes. It's the simple step of obedience to say yes to God. When we bring ourselves before Jesus and we allow him to then present us with the truth of salvation and we receive it, what happens is you enter this realm of loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And what begins to happen is the relationship that you establish with God by continually bringing yourself to submission to God, reading his word, seeing what his word says, submitting to the word, continually hearing the word and talking about the word and letting the word register with you in your prayers, talking to God back and forth and your worship. All those different things that you begin doing to keep connecting with God keeps giving you more and more opportunity and makes it easier and easier for you to keep submitting more and more of who you are. And eventually you submit God so deeply that other people see it on the outside. Other people start to see it and notice your submission to God. Not because you told them, but because your life starts to look different. Your walk starts to be different. Your conversation becomes different. Not because somebody's telling you what to do, but because the word and you and God are cultivating a relationship. And the relationship that you have with God starts to change your environment. It starts to change you. That's why everything in this world will tell you don't read this Bible. Because the world system doesn't want you to change. It doesn't want you transformed. It wants to hang on to you the way you are. And the more people that won't submit to God, the more lost the kingdom has. Because the kingdom is built of people who get revelation and submit to the revelation. And man, but when do you think you understand this? Peter, we looked at John chapter 21 a couple weeks ago, and we talked about how Peter, when he denied Jesus, he was immediately condemned. But what Peter probably had in his mind after the fact was that before he denied Jesus, Jesus told him two things that were really important. The first thing that happened was Peter, when engaged about what's going to happen, he told Jesus, I will never forsake you. Matter of fact, not only will I not forsake you, I will be with you no matter what. And Jesus turned to him and said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed for you. I prayed for you that your faith does not fail you. And when you get strengthened, you strengthen your brothers. He was told that before he ever denied Jesus. Why? Because while we're talking about this knowing God and this depth of everything, Jesus knows right where you are. He knows both where you are now. He knows mistakes you've made in the past. And he knows the mistakes you're going to make in the next 5 minutes. And even with all of that, knowing who you are and how you are, knowing the people you come from, knowing how you were trained, knowing all that about you, he still says, Satan wants to sift you, but I pray for you. And guess what? When you get strengthened, in other words, you're going to find a weak point. You're going to hit a weak spot where you're going to mess it up, Peter. You're going to mess this whole thing up, man. I'm telling you right now, you're talking bad. You are talking bad, Peter. But you're going to fail. Tell your neighbor, say, you might fail tomorrow. Whoo, but Jesus prayed for you. Tell him, Jesus prayed for you. And when you get strengthened, tell him, when you get strengthened, go strengthen somebody else. Come on. Come on. In other words, when you fall and you get up, don't start looking down your nose on people who fall. You go strengthen people. You go let people know you can make it because I failed too. Come on. Yeah. Jesus prayed for me and I got up. Come on, you can get up out of this. Come on. Strengthen your brothers. Get your brother strong. Are you a new creation? See, you're a new creation. You are. You are a new creation and you're not going to be perfect. But even though you're not perfect, you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You are free to confess and declare who you are because that's what God says who you are. Because I'm a new creation in Christ. You're saying, I'm a new creation. Come on, say it like you mean it. I'm a new creation. Thank you. Thank you. You're a new creation in Christ. It doesn't mean that life is perfect. It doesn't mean that life, everything's going to fall into order today. But it does mean that God is with you. What did God tell Joshua? Don't let this book of the law get out of your mouth. You got to keep on speaking it. You got to keep on confessing. You got to make it your meditation. Keep on thinking about it, Joshua. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. Because then you're going to make your way prosperous and you're going to have good success. And guess what? Joshua went out and began conquering people all over the countryside. But guess what happened? One day they got their butts whooped. They went out to fight and they got sent back home. But Lord, I thought you were going to whip with me. Yep. Yeah, I'm with you. But guess what? Somebody violated the word. Go back, look at the word, find out where you are, and then go back out. That's all God wants. When you fall, it's not the end of the world. It's just time to go back to the word. What did it say? Let's get it right and let's move on. Amen. Amen. That's how you live a new creation life. That's how in the end of your life, you can look back and say, man, God was with me. Yes. Hallelujah. Through my trials, through my storms, through my falls, through my mistakes, errors, God was with me all the way. And guess what? Now at the end of my life, I say, thank you, Lord. Now remains for me a crown of righteousness. Because God is good like that. God is good like that. After Peter had failed Jesus, Peter was standing there. They went back fishing. He went back to his old way of living. He goes back, and what did Jesus show up on the shore? And come on, called him right back out. Told him right back. Look, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me with agape love, Peter? I love you with phileo, but you know what? I was talking a lot of trash before. I ain't got no trash to talk right now. I phileo you, Lord. I love you like a brother, but I don't know about agape. I don't know about that no more. I used to think I could walk in agape love, but then I messed up. I fell. I used to talk trash about how good I was and how all the other disciples. I was the one who stepped out on water when everybody else was looking at you. I said, Jesus, you call me out. I'm walking on water. And he go, I walked on water with Jesus. What do y'all do? Full of pride. Because why? Because sometimes that's what's in us. And God's got to weed it out of us. And sometimes what's in you has to be weeded out. And when it comes out, everybody sees it. Man. But thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. Causes us to triumph. You're a new creation and you're not perfect. But you're a new creation, you're going to keep growing. You're going to keep growing in the things of God. You're going to keep on. And God's going to start using you in unique and powerful ways that are unique to who you are, because you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are gifted with the mighty gifts of God that genetically are in you and supernaturally by the Holy Ghost are in you. You got gifts and talents that have not even been touched or pulled out of you yet. And guess what? More pressure you get under, more challenge you get under, the more your gifts will come out when you know that you're in Christ. And when they come out, they'll be a blessing to everybody around you. When your gifts come out of you, they'll be a blessing to people who don't even know you right now. God told us things about our church and how our church would grow. And you know what? God had to help me understand. He said, if I do everything I told you, I can't do it with the people you know today. You're going to have to meet some new people, partner. You're gonna have to get out of your skin. You're gonna have to go past where you are now. You're gonna have to go further out in order to get the fish out in the river. The fish are out there. They're not on the shore. And guess what? He's equipping all of us who know each other already to go get more fish. Not to deny the other fishermen. I don't know you because I'm out to. No, yeah, come on, man. No, we're all fishermen. And we're all going out further to catch what has not yet been caught. You can't catch other fishermen and call them fish. Look what I caught. You caught a fisherman. We got to catch fish. Amen? All right, anyway, all right. Praise the Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. If we can love the Lord with all that's in us, the Lord will reveal to us things we have not even thought about. Call upon me and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know. That's the word of the Lord for us today. Call on him and he will answer you and he will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. He will show you things you don't know. Tomorrow you should know things you didn't know today. That's what should continually happen to us. I can't go any further. I'm out of time. So we can't go any further with this, but I want you to know this. Lock this down in your heart. Number one, when he says you shall love the Lord, you're loving the Lord, the ruler of all, the supreme authority. We're loving Jesus. We are loving Jesus. All authority has been given to Jesus. When we say love him, that's what we're doing. We're putting our love on Jesus. How do we put love on Jesus? We put love on Jesus by, number one, our prayers, praying. Becoming a person of constant, continual prayer. Yes. Number two, when you pray, stop and listen.
Yes.
Once you talk to God, slow down. Listen. Listen. When you listen, you're going to hear stuff you ain't expecting to hear. Because guess what? God will talk to you. When I first met my wife, this was the sequence of events. I met her at church because she was working at church. And I had made a decision. I wasn't talking to nobody. I was not. Like I told you, I went home and I threw all my stuff out. I'm like, nope. If I'm in God, I'm in all the way. I'm not looking at no women. I'm not nothing. I'm blinders on. I'm going to church. I'm going to stare at the cross the whole time. That's all I'm going to do. I'm staring at the cross, y'all. But then one day I was sitting on the pew and the Holy Spirit said, you can't sit on the pew. I got work for you to do. I said, wow. That was the voice of God. So I opened up the program. I'm new in the things of God. I heard a voice. My God, that's God talking to me. I opened up the church program, and the last line, it said, the communications department needs workers. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm volunteering in the communication department. I don't know nothing about communications, but you know what? It's the only thing that says something I can do, and I'm gonna go do it. So when I went to volunteer, she was working in there. So she's working in the group, but I'm still staring at the cross. I'm staring at the cross. Now, she sees me staring at the cross and realizing I'm not talking to nobody else. I'm staring at the cross. So then what ends up happening is we end up working together and working together and working together. And then all of a sudden, God started telling me, that's your wife. So I asked her out on a date. So we went out on a date, and we're talking. We went out. We went to dinner. Then we were in the car. We're talking. And then the Holy Spirit said, ask her. And so the first night, I asked her. I said, I believe God told you to be my wife. Will you marry me? The first date. The first date. First date. First date. But I was so busy staring at the cross, all I could hear was God talking. Yes. So my training on how to find a wife didn't kick in. Because my training was, don't get married till you're 30 years old. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, you know, do this, do this, you know, no. Matter of fact, nope, getting too close, don't do that. Nope. All my training was going to try to talk to me if I wasn't looking at the cross. But because I was looking at the cross, I heard God talking rather than me talking. Because my love was on him and my love was not on me. Because all I knew about trying to find a wife is you find a wife to do the way you want to do. And if she can't do it the way you want to do, then you keep on stepping. That's my training. That's what I was taught. But 30 years later, God was right. Now, unfortunately, and I love him, but my trainer, he went through four wives. My trainer went through wife after wife because he was teaching me what he was taught as opposed to teaching me what the word said. I read in the Bible where Abraham sent his servant, excuse me, Isaac sent his servant to go find a wife for his son. Yeah. And this is what his instructions. The first woman you see, she's the one. So he went out, asked her a question. She verified that she was the one, and he didn't even see her. Gave her. And that became his love of his life. You know why? Because God's word works. We got to love God. And sometimes loving God may mean that you got to shut some other voices off. That you're willing to submit your heart and your mind and your soul to God. And what happens is we get afraid sometimes of what's God going to tell us to do if we submit all the way. But all God will do is make your life heaven. God's goal is to take you to heaven, but we think heaven means you got to go to heaven. But he said, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth is mine. In other words, whatever's in heaven, I can bring it on earth. You don't have to go to heaven to get heaven. You can actually get heaven here. But it's all predicated on heaven is where God is. So if you can submit and let God be where you are, then God can make heaven right where you stand. Wow, think about that. That's a revelation moment. Amen. Amen. I can't go no further. Let's praise God. Come back next week. We got the rest of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is life. Your word is strength. It is truth and power. We thank you, Lord, that as your word has been spoken, Lord, let no bird of the air snatch away the word that's been sown. The seeds that have been sown in hearts and minds of people here, Lord, I thank you that this word will sow and grow in their hearts and minds, Lord, 100-fold. We thank you for a mighty return coming back from this word as it's poured into the hearts of everyone here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit.
Praise God, and thanks for listening to today's message. And it was titled, New Year, New Me, Part 6. Are you a new creation? For more information about Abundant Life Worship Center, please feel free to check out our website at alwc.us. On our site, you'll find more information about us, our church and events calendar, and other messages that may be of interest to you. Once again, the site is alwc.us. You can also find us on our Facebook page at facebook.com/abundantlifeworship.net. God bless, and we look forward to seeing you on our next podcast. Until then, remember that Jesus came to give you life, and that more abundantly.